call the meeting to order. It's 5:37. Like to welcome everybody. We have here in person, Tom Copenhaver and I are here as members of the board, and we have our new director, Rose Likens, and Teresa Tuggle, our financial representative, and Helen. And joining us in the meeting as well is Emily Vires. She's the auditor. She'll be giving a report later on in the meeting. So welcome everybody to this new system we've got going. And the only thing a little different is you all can't see the agenda, but we'll work through that as we go in the meeting tonight. Do the people here, is there anything we need to add to this agenda? We're good? Okay. Did you all get a chance to look through the minutes? Or have you?
I sent them out to everybody on Monday, okay, in the email package.
Have you all had a chance to review the minutes that Rose sent out in the packet via email?
I have.
Yes.
Would anybody like to vote to approve the minutes from last month's meeting?
Move to approve the minutes as sent.
Tom has made a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Apparently not.
I'll second.
Donna is going to second that. All in favor, please. And this is going to be a little different. We may have to do roll call votes some. So I'm going to go down the line. Tom, vote yes. Donna, yes. Jim, what's
yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Heather?
Yes.
Kristen?
Yes.
And is that everybody?
Marvin, I don't think we need to go through that.
Well,
I think
but
all we do is hey or nay.
Everybody's got it. Anybody have an opposition to this? No. Okay. All right. So we have approved the minutes, but I need to go back. We don't have any guests here tonight other than Teresa, and she has a spot coming up here really soon. with no guests in attendance, we don't have any public or guest remarks. So the next thing after the approval of minutes would be the approval of disbursements. And this is another thing you should have gotten in your email from Teresa, a list of the disbursements for the month of November. If you all would take a minute and pull that up on your emails, or if you have already had a chance to review that, do you have any questions about those disbursements from November 1st to November 30th? I guess I'll start off. I've mentioned I like to just clarify what our expenses are. It's not a very long disbursements journal. The first item is $3,381. Could you just let us know a little bit about what that is? Is that Sanico or Sanico?
That is the company that you purchased COVID expenses from.
Okay, so that was included in our county COVID money. Okay.
That was the shampooer.
The shampooer. So everybody, if you had that question, that's what that item is. Anybody else have any questions on the disbursements journal for November?
Why are we paying the county twice in the same month again?
Which line is it you're looking at?
$28?
November 3rd and November 30th.
Right.
The Association of Counties for $28.72.
No, County Treasurer, $3,573.
Okay, the big one.
I mean, aren't there 30 days difference between those? And
there should be, but I think the October payments didn't go out till the 1st of November. We didn't write that check till November 3rd for the October payroll. And then on the November payroll, it went out on the day we did the payroll.
Okay. All right. Are there any other questions? Just two things here. I noticed we have two items that look like they're related to internet. The Convergence Voice Networks, is that an internet related? Is that phone?
That's our phone system.
That's our phone system,
yes.
$405.
That was where we called them to add Rose
and change some other things around.
Okay. And then the Point Broadband, is that a monthly fee, $583?
That actually is the last that we will pay to Point Broadband.
Okay.
That was the remaining of the system before the one we have now, which is the Proficient.
Okay, but that's an internet fee.
Yes, that's internet.
And then does that serve all of the branches? Is that just Marion? Is
I
that...
think that was just the remainder of the Marion one.
Okay.
But it may have been the remainder of Marion and a little bit from Saltville.
Okay, so it had a couple. All right.
So why are Wells Fargo charges $2?
Let's see, that's down $2 to Wells Fargo.
They charge you $2 to get a paper statement every month.
So the bank, so this gets a paper statement every month?
Yeah, they mail a paper statement to the library and they charge $2 a month to do that.
Okay. All right. Does anybody want to make a motion that we accept the, or approve the disbursements for the month of November?
So moved.
Tom has moved that we approve the disbursements. Anybody want a second?
I'll second.
Kristen, second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Teresa, why are there other things that Wells Fargo's charges for? I mean, just for no particular reason?
Not that I'm aware of. The only other thing you would ever see a charge for is if you ask them to go back and research a check for you, if you have to have them research where a check
Wouldn't
went.
You have those records?
I'm sorry?
Wouldn't y'all have those records?
We would once it was mailed out, but after it cleared the bank, if you needed a copy
of it. So this comes to the library and then we hand it to you, or this how does this work?
The bank statement?
Yeah.
Yes. It comes
so
to
So why
the
don't
library.
You get it?
I'm sorry?
Why don't you get it over to the email? Does it come to us first?
It does. They mail the paper statement here, and then they bring it to me at the office.
That brings up a good point that I'd wanted to make. I realized that we don't have copies of a lot of our invoices here on site. The majority of our files are being kept in your office, and that is a little bit concerning to me. I feel like it would be good for us to have the hard copies here, or at least a hard copy, instead of all of our files being maintained off-site at your office. And, I mean, if we need to implement a new procedure for the way those things are given to you, if that would be a copy or whatever. I just feel like if we're going to review invoices, we don't have access to them. We'd have to come to you to review those invoices. And
that's correct. And the main reason that we do that is so that we can look back and make for sure that we're not paying something that was paid in the prior month, that something didn't carry over.
Well,
so they come here first, and Helen and I go over them, mm-hmm. and I sign off on them, and then Helen physically takes them to Teresa.
Right. But we aren't maintaining our own file system of our invoices.
I've started making copies of most things, and I think that, I guess the question is, and when Delania was doing it, Delania didn't give us any backup back. Becky is now doing the bill paying, and Becky is making copies of our stuff,
mm-hmm.
and keeping a copy and sending the other back. So
yeah.
I guess I just need to get maybe Becky to give us a copy of the check stuff.
Well, the thing that brought it up is the fact that we had had questions about our billing from Lawhorn.
Right.
And when I asked to see invoices from everything past a certain point,
right.
I was told those invoices are all maintained in your office. And I was like, well, then I can't really see what we're paying and what the line items are and what is included and what we're paying for. So that is a little bit of a
yeah, you're right. We'll fix that.
I would just like to be able to, if we have a question.
And of course, the goal is when you hire, you know, a bookkeeper here, all of that information
right.
goes back here.
Right. It just
you
for
know,
right now, where that came up and we couldn't review the invoices, that would have answered some of the questions we had
right.
regarding what we're paying for, how often we're paying, the contracted amounts, and those things. So that just was something that, you know, seemed like needed to be addressed. And also, would there be a way, I noticed we got our disbursements journal today, the day of the meeting. We really need that at least the latest by the Friday before our meeting.
Yes, we've had that conversation.
Rose had mentioned that, and Helen and I talked about it. You know, we had two issues this month. One, you know, the information didn't come to me until
there was a couple of things that I had that needed to get there faster.
Mm-hmm.
And that will change.
The other issue I had was we were moving our data from our server to Lawhorn's server. So all my files I needed were tied up in that transfer. And mm-hmm. until it got done, I couldn't access it.
Okay.
And so as soon as he got done with that yesterday, then I started on the financial statements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other files were tied up again today. And so hopefully that problem is taken care of now because all of our information has been consolidated with theirs.
Mm-hmm. So moving forward, we can expect to have our disbursements journal by the Friday before the meeting.
Yes, that's Helen and I's hope. We get all the information in them, and we don't have to wait anymore on the Baker and Taylor. They're always late, and mm-hmm. we don't have to wait on them anymore because that overpayment is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So now it'll be, as the invoices come in here, they'll come to our office and be input in the system, and it'll stay up to date.
Okay. And the last, you go ahead, Tom.
So is all our record keeping now going to be on a Longhorn proprietary software?
It is on it's not proprietary, it's not their proprietary software. It's a like a QuickBooks, except for it's called Zero, and it's not just a Longhorn software. You could buy it to use here.
So we can access that, all our records on the...
Yes, and
Helen can do that.
Helen.
Yeah, and I look at it a lot if I'm looking to see if I've...
Okay, and there's no charge for that?
No.
Okay,
the other question I had was a question I'd asked, I don't know if it was last month or the month before, if we had an outstanding question of how much state aid did we have carried over that wasn't used from the last fiscal year to this year. And you had said you were going to try and find out and get back with us on that. And I haven't gotten a response as of yet.
Oh, somebody dropped their microphone. Filling out of their tooth.
Because that's kind of information we have so we know how much we need to spend from the state aid, because those funds are usually allocated and they have to be spent a certain way.
It's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, Helen, those funds do not have to be spent in this calendar year, or was that for last fiscal year?
What was left over, whatever that amount was okay to be spent by this June. But I don't...
You mean June 2020 or this June?
21.
But we just need to know the amount. We can't get a set answer. What is that amount that we didn't have spent from state aid? And I asked that a couple months ago.
Well, and I think we run state financial expenditure statements that come out every month to tell you what you spent.
Okay, so can we look at that? Can you show me what was left over from last year, though?
We will not show you. The June statements will show you what was left over from last year.
Could I ask you to look back at that and send that out and let us know exactly what amount we had from last year that needed to be spent in state aid? So the June 30th statement would have that.
They should have that. Now, there's been a little bit of confusion on the statements because they've changed a couple of different times trying to get statements that satisfy what everybody wants.
Mm-hmm.
And so at one point, they didn't want the state statements, and so they were taken out. And then now I put them back in. So
mm-hmm.
I'll look.
Okay. And the other... I have one more. The rest of you, please be looking or thinking if you have any questions for Teresa while she's here. I have one based on the information that was sent today. It's the Smith County Library Statement of Financial Position. On page 4, there is a list of revenues And I noticed that in the budgeted items, we have miscellaneous income budgeted at $36,000. And thus far, we have $764.21 of that. So I think we can see from that that we are definitely not going to be able to count on a $36,000 budgeted amount in miscellaneous income.
And I think you're correct on that. Now, part of that was supposed to be what the IRS aid, you know, the IRS check that comes in. And there was another payment, something that comes in from maybe the Rose Acre Greer Trust.
When you say IRS, are you talking about the
E-rate
check?
I guess that's what it is. I've never really...
I think
that's what they call it.
I think that's a good name for it. But I think when I was talking to Ann that that's what that was. And I'm not sure. Last year, we got the check back for $10,800-some dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But that internet was prepaid.
Mm-hmm.
So it was coming off of credit. So at the end of the year, they paid us $10,000-something because we had prepaid it.
Uh-huh.
That's not happening this year, so I don't think we're going to get a check.
So the thing that just concerns me is that we're going to have an almost $36,000 shortfall in our budget if you look at this page. Is that correct? Or is there something else that we're hoping to get that will fill in that gap of $35,000?
I need to go back and look and see what was budgeted in that amount.
Mm-hmm.
Because the work papers that Ann sent me at that time and Rob sent me at that time had a breakdown of what went into those accounts.
I think at some point I was under the impression that they were including copying expenses in that and fees for copy service and things like that.
You're but, right. I bet it
but
was,
I can't imagine $36,000 in copy fees. I don't know what the norm is.
Well, the budget had $11,000
okay.
for fees and fines
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably that number.
Part of
but
it.
It's not $36,000. There was something else that was $17,000, and I don't remember right now what it is.
Okay.
As we've discussed, I think I'm going to have to come to you all in January with a revised budget for
right.
the rest of the fiscal year.
Yeah.
But I will leave
we'll
that
leave
for
that.
Now. But
okay. But that is just right off the bat in reviewing this document. And it's a 20-page, and this came out in the email today too, right, Teresa?
Yeah.
So you all should have this if you want to review it. Does anybody else have any questions for Teresa while she's here with us tonight about this financial standing of the library? We also have our auditor later on in the meeting, but for Teresa, do you have any questions or concerns that she could address? If not, we're going to move forward with the agenda into the director's report, and this will be the first ever director's report from our new director, Rose Likens. And of course, you all know she started on December 1st, and we're just thrilled that she's here with us. And
jumped in with both feet.
We'll just turn the time over to Rose now.
Okay, well, thank you. And as I've said to many of you, I am delighted and thrilled to be here. I will say it's been a little more action-packed than one might have expected.
Right.
But it's a great way to learn is when you're dealing with the problems live and in person and in front of you. So I've tried to focus on getting to know the members of the team and doing community outreach. And Margaret and I have been making field trips. We went to the Marion Town Council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We went out to the Chilhowee Town Council meeting. We were going to go to the Board of Supervisors meeting, but
mm-hmm.
they had a public hearing and they were packed in, so they asked us to defer till next month, which
mm-hmm.
we will do. I've made calls to the police chief in Marion, to the sheriff of Smith County, so I'm slowly reaching out to everybody. I've talked to the mayor of Marion, the town manager. I've exchanged calls, we haven't connected yet, with the mayor of Saltville, so I'm reaching out to all of our community partners, and that's been a lot of fun, actually, getting to know people and hearing their perspectives. A lot of support from the library, as you would expect. The other thing has just been, kind of getting to know the team. I held on Friday, December 1st, my first all-staff meeting where we had everybody from all the branches come here and meet each other in some cases. It had been a while, so that's terrific. I'm also doing one-on-one meetings with each staff member to kind of learn about their jobs and learn about their perspective on the library, so that'll be going on for the foreseeable future a little bit. I've also created a management team meeting that is all of the department heads plus the two branch managers, and we're meeting weekly. And I consider this group kind of to be the brain trust, the people that we're going to talk about issues with and work through whatever, we get their best advice and their historical perspective on things. So that group will be meeting every week. There's still a ton of stuff to do, both in outreach and in getting to know the team, but we've got a lot on our plate, so it's happening as quickly as we can. As you know, one of the first decisions I had to make that first week was to take us back to curbside. And I did that based on a couple of things. One was the call from Mount Rogers to public officials to please help contain the spread of the virus, given the rapid increase in the county, but also the schools going back to virtual and the county deciding to remove public access to the county building. So we're consistent with everybody else. Obviously, we want to continue to serve people, so we're continuing to do curbside service. We're continuing to take phone calls, to meet people at the door and do their copies and their printing for them as best we can. We're doing virtual story times. We're trying to engage with people as best we can. We have a lot of craft kits going out, both for kids and adults, so we're present and engaged with the community as best we can be, and we welcome all of the ideas that people have for us. I just to give you a few highlights, you have seen notes from Chris and Heather, but they've both been super active. Chris had the Santa letters that was covered on TV. She did some radio interviews with Emory radio station. So I think that's been fairly well publicized. Heather Carter in Chilhowee has created an outdoor story walk in the Lucas B. Dowd Park, where it's pages from a storybook mounted on posters, and people walk through one way and see one storybook, and walk through the other way and see another storybook. They're really lovely, so she did a great job with that. And the Marion Youth Services team has created a new TikTok account to reach a younger audience on social media. They're also creating story time videos and doing story times with Head Start and child care centers. So we're continuing to engage with the community. We miss seeing people and want to have them back as fast as we can. The other thing I should tell you about COVID while we're on COVID is that I had to close the Saltville branch today because of a report of potential exposure. And so that is going to be closed through Monday. The individuals will be getting tests, we hope, on Monday, and then we will know. But they were exposed to someone who has tested positive. The protocol for defining exposure evidently has changed, and so the easiest way to deal with it is just to get them tested. So one employee has scheduled a test. The other employee hasn't decided yet whether she wants to have a test. That's entirely her choice, but we'll have to decide whether she comes back before, the 10, I think it's now 10 days that CDC recommends instead of 14, whether she'll stay out for 10 days if she chooses not to get a test, but that's her choice. So that was just today. And so they'll be closed tomorrow and Saturday. They didn't have appointments anyway, so it should be okay. And people reach out to Chris by email. She'll have her laptop at home, so she'll be able to answer people's email, or sometimes they call her directly. So that's the other COVID matter. The other pressing matters that we have confronted, my very first day, I was presented with a bill for the elevator. So the elevator broke the Monday before Thanksgiving. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the elevator repairman informed us that it was a catastrophic failure, and all of the oil that lubricates the hydraulic jack was gone. And so they then sent us that repair bill for $50,098. I, of course, panicked and thought, oh dear, what are we going to do with $50,000? So the county, as you know, owns the building. So I spoke to the county administrator. He had known the elevator was out of service. He didn't know whether or not it would cost that much. He was thinking $10,000. He wasn't thinking $50,000. I've called the elevator company and spoken with them. We do have a service contract. They do quarterly service visits. All of those visits have been done. We have an insurance policy that covers building and contents. So Lisa Richardson at the county has filed a claim with our insurance company about the elevator. I heard this morning that the insurance company will be sending a representative to look at it. ThyssenKrupp, which is the elevator company, says that it's a two-week kind of construction project where they will have to take out the old jack, completely clean out the pit, line the pit, and build a new jack that will have to go into the elevator. So in a way, it's good that we don't have public in the building right now because we don't have the elevator. Given the volume of money, Sean Utt, the county administrator, believes they will have to bid it because of the cost. He has led me to believe that they understand that this is a county expense, that it's a part of the building, and whether we're here or not, they would still have to have a functioning elevator. So he hasn't said 100% firm, Rose, we got this, but he has said that he understands it's part of the building, that they are responsible for the building. Hopefully the insurance is going to cover this and it doesn't become a tug of war, but that's where we are right now, waiting to hear what the insurance company responds to our claim. We have advertised the accountant position, which is another urgent item on my agenda to get that filled. And Margaret gave me the guidance to go ahead and advertise that as a full-time position, which we have done. We've put it on Craigslist, we've put it on our Facebook, we've put it on our website, we've put it on Indeed. ZipRecruiter. We only had it up for a few days because they wanted to charge us $150, so I didn't want to pay that. So we used the free days, but mm-hmm. we haven't paid. We paid $10 for Craigslist. We're looking forward to, and Sean Utt at the county has also added it to their employment offerings page. So people going there will also see our advertisement. Mm-hmm. I will leave. I had a very productive conversation on Friday with Emily, and I will let Emily talk about the audit in terms of understanding our financial situation. But in terms of the budget, I will just say that based on the conversation that I had with Emily, I believe I'm going to have to submit a revised budget for you. In creating the budget that you all approved, money from our reserve was pulled forward. And if we spend that money, we will not have sufficient reserves to meet the requirements that auditors are required to hold us to. So we don't have to have that discussion tonight, but just to flag for you that in trying to understand our financial position, I believe we're going to have to revise the budget to make sure we don't spend down everything that was planned for in the budget and put ourselves in a deficient position. I've also spoken with Patton and about obtaining the services of an attorney, so we need to have a library attorney to advise us on a few personnel matters and some upcoming contracts. So we will, he has spoken with Paul Morrison, who has agreed to work with us, and I will, the next step will be for me to call Paul and set up that relationship. Finally, I would just say briefly that there's a widespread lack of written policies and procedures, and so I will be working with the entire library team over the next several months to start to create those policies, and as we create them, we'll be bringing them to the policies for you all to be approved, and then the procedures are just the way we do it. Once you all have approved the policy, the procedures are our internal documentation of how we accomplish those policies. So we'll create a work plan. It's a lot of work. It's everything from our financial policies to our circulation policies to our collection development policies. And so all of those will need to be created. There are also a lack of written records in the personnel area. And I'm, again, working with the team to create current position descriptions, and coming next year, a normal performance cycle where people will set goals, we'll have performance discussions, and at the end of the year, everybody will get a written performance appraisal, which has evidently not happened in recent years. So, with that very lengthy report, I apologize for the detail. We have a lot to do, but I'm very excited. We have a terrific agenda. Ah, I just remembered I have a few other things to tell you. One of the Saltville Town Council members, Monica Johnson, has started a proposal on the Town Council to give the Saltville branch a different building.
That's great.
And so she asked if we would support that, and I said,
wholeheartedly.
Yeah, from the director's perspective, we will make it happen. You know, yeah. You have a different building for us. We will make the move happen. We will move the internet and the computers and whatever we have to move. There is a particular building that she's in favor of. I haven't expressed an opinion about the building. I just said that we've outgrown the current facility. Our collection is large, our programs are robust, and there's just not enough room in that facility. And there are also some, you know, kind of ADA issues in terms of access. So the building that Monica is proposing is in better condition, has a drive-through, so things like curbside service would be very convenient. So I just wanted to let you all know that we think that's a really good idea. And then finally, to tell you that I learned the day before I moved here that I have a torn rotator cuff in my right shoulder. So in January, I will be going back to Arlington for a few weeks to have surgery to repair that. I will still be available online. I will still be available by phone. And as you know, we have a terrific team in place, and we'll work together to make it as smooth as possible. Mm-hmm. But I will be away probably about 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks while I get that done.
Health things happen. Unfortunately, we know that.
Unfortunately.
But is that the end of your...
That's everything.
That is everything. Well, we appreciate it. I feel like we're in good hands. We're in capable hands after that report. Heather, did you hear that report?
Yes, I did.
What's your thought on the Saltville building?
I think it's the old Clark's building that she's talking about, right? Beside the Wellness Center?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, yeah. It used to be a pharmacy. So, I mean, and it's just an open space. I think that's great. That would be the perfect place. Good parking. She said, the drive-thru, you know, you could just hand the books out through the drive-thru. It would be perfect, really.
Great.
So Monica says that she and one other council member have spoken in favor of it.
Okay.
They had a board meeting last night, their town council meeting last night, and they discussed it last night.
Do they have to purchase it?
They own it.
Oh.
They already own it.
Okay.
They own it.
The town owns it, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great for Saltville.
The Wellness Center, see, and that's really good because, like the wellness center is right beside where the old Piggly Wiggly used to be, and then there was a pharmacy, so during, you know, they might could work out a thing where if the parents want to go work out, then do the story time at the library. You know, it, there's a lot of things that you could do with that being that close together. So
you're in favor of that idea?
Oh, yeah, I've been in favor of getting a bigger building.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a good idea, too. I'm glad to see that that's in motion, because that's needed to happen.
If you've ever been to a story time at Sawell, my son, he's 11, and he started going, I think they can start at 2, I don't know. But, I mean, it was, you know, standing room only for the parents, and, you know, you would have to go sit, you know, in the books, in the aisle. Well, there's only one aisle of books, but... I mean, yeah, they definitely need a bigger building.
That's great. So I think as a board, I mean, the rest of you, are you all support that idea? We would be behind this plan, right? Is there anybody that's opposed to this? Because I think it's a no-brainer. Sounds like. Anybody have any other thoughts on that?
I see a proposal before I jump in.
Yeah, but
sounds
I think it sounds great. If it's going to give them more room and more space and the town's willing to offer it up, then, I mean, I think it sounds good.
Yeah, I think she still has some work to do to convince everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know what the competing proposals are, and I don't think we need to get into that from my perspective.
No.
We just want to...
We just, yeah. If,
yes, we think we need a bigger facility, and if you know, we hope you will identify a facility that meets the needs.
Right, because, that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, it might take some convincing, but I'd say if you have enough of the town behind, you know, the board, then, I mean, I don't see how, I mean, if they already own the building, I don't see what...
Right.
The point with, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about things like that, but...
So is there anything...
I agree, it's a no-brainer to me.
Is there anything you all think we could do to kind of help support that effort with the Saltville Town Council? Or, Heather, do you know anybody that we could...
Maybe go to a town council meeting, I don't know, and just give support to Monica. I don't know the other one who would... I don't know the other one that's, you know, started the proposal, so I'll have to find out and see.
Well, I'd be willing to go over there. If we could find out when the next town council meeting is, I'd be willing to go over and whatever, just to show them we're behind them, whatever they want to do.
I think like the county this month, they didn't want us to come because I guess they have a very small facility.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they were full up this month. Because Chris did ask if they wanted us to come, and they said not this month.
Okay. Do you all have any other comments on the director's report, things that stood out, questions you have? Nobody? Y'all are awfully quiet tonight. Okay.
My first time. They're going easy.
They're really, really quiet tonight. It's this virtual thing. Okay, we are going to move on to item number 8, which is the audit update. Emily, I know you've been waiting for this. We're excited to hear the audit report, and we're really glad you're here with us tonight. If you want to just give us a brief summary of, you know, the audit and... things you feel like we need to know?
I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you all tonight. I didn't prepare a formal presentation. I thought we would just kind of walk through the report itself so that everyone knows what your information is within the report. And then we'll go over any questions that you have. Feel free to jump in. I tend to talk quickly. But just interrupt me at any point, wave and flag me down and get me to stop if you've got questions. Do you all have a copy of the report itself in front of you, or would you like for me to try to share my screen so that you can see where I am?
Does anybody need her to share her screen?
It looks like you all have it.
Does everybody have
it? It looks like you guys have your copy, so you're with me.
Right. Okay.
So we're just going to kind of walk through the report. Like I said, feel free to interrupt or interject with any questions that you have. Page one of the report is the independent auditor's report. This is essentially where we state whether we think your financial statements are materially correct in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. So you guys have a clean, unmodified opinion. That's what you want. That just means that we think the numbers as presented are materially correct. On page three and page four, exhibits one and two, your financial statements are reported on the governmental basis for a governmental fund. So exhibits one and two are long-term in nature. These are full accounting statements or financial statements. They include things like capital assets and long-term liabilities, which for you all is compensated absences or accrued leave balances for employees that may be paid at some point. And then pension and OPEB liabilities where they participate, you participate in VRS through the county and then some of their OPEB plans as well. On page five and seven.
Emily.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
You have here in here investments, and I read your definition of investments, and that wasn't very specific. What investments does the bank, I mean, does the library have?
Those are CDs. All of the investments that you all have are CDs that are held.
These are CDs?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And some of those are restricted, like for building fund and things like that.
Okay, I just didn't know. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's okay.
And obviously the one that sticks out is compensated absences. Is I don't under why you have to, but I guess if that's what you have to do it that way. And I don't see
that's,
how that
can. That's an accounting standard that you have to report the portion that could be paid for leave balances for people if everybody.
If everybody walked out on the same day.
Right. If everybody walked out the door, that's what you would owe people, and that's what. In theory, it also takes into account the fact that people will use their leave balances that they accrued from working this year in the next year. And then you're required to estimate a portion that you think
but that money is not year. But that money is not in addition to their salary at the time. So why is it it's like you're paying something twice to me. I don't quite understand the I mean, if somebody says, I want to be compensated, and they're still on the books as an employee, and let's say somebody leaves, terminates, and they say, well, you owe me a month's salary. Well, we just pay them the extra month. I mean, that's in the normal process of going on. Why do we have to set aside money to do that? You understand what I'm asking you?
You don't technically have to set aside money, but you do have to recognize on your balance sheet for accounting principles that you allow people to be paid out a certain amount if they leave. And so that's to help try to estimate the amount that could be paid out based on the leave balances at the end of the year.
Like sick leave and that kind of thing.
I know what it is.
Yeah.
I just wonder why you put a figure on it. Okay.
Well,
I think the idea is that as they have worked this year and not used those leave balances or not taken off, they've earned that. And so it relates to the work that they've performed this year. And you owe that to them at some point in the future. But to get it matched to when they worked it, you've got to report it as a liability this year. If it would help, I could try to look up some guidance on it or some.
I'm just curious. I just never seen. Just curious, I've never seen it. And we have a minus unrestricted position in something of $157,000. And what is that? Under net position?
That is basically your, So your balance sheet has to balance. And so for you all, that just means that your liabilities on the full accrual basis exceed your assets, and so you essentially have an unrestricted deficit balance.
So in fact, we're 83, in fact, we're $83,000 in debt. At, by your accounting standards. I'm sorry, I missed that.
Sorry, there's a little bit of lag. I keep talking over you.
Say it's, it shows an $83,000 deficit balance. So at the end of any year, we owed $83,000?
Yes, at the end of the year, you, if you had shut down operations and had to pay everything out, your liabilities exceeded your assets by that amount. Now, that's not to say, I mean, your fixed assets are recorded at historical cost, so it's all, I mean, it is an estimate, because your pension and OPEB liabilities, it does include estimates, because your liabilities are not, like notes payable and loans payable and mortgages for things where you truly owe a bank a concrete amount. Your long-term liabilities are all estimates, rather than, you know, necessarily having to cut a check to pay off a loan.
So in, Tom, in note 8, Emily explained the pension. This is the VRS withholding.
I understand pensions, I understand withholding from it. I've read through some of the notes.
So Emily explained to me on Friday that essentially VRS is not asking us to withhold enough to meet what could be our pension obligations down the road. And that's not something we can do unilaterally, that VRS...
Yeah, that's a state problem. That's not mm-hmm. our problem. I understand that.
Is, did I say that correctly, Emily?
Yes, I think you did.
Okay. Okay, Emily, continue.
Okay. On page 5 and 7 are exhibits 3 and 5, and these are a much more near-term focus. These are on a modified accrual basis. So essentially, they go out 60 days from year end to the forward receivables and payables. These numbers, while they won't match what you get on a month-to-month basis necessarily, they should be closer to what you all see in your monthly reporting, I would think. I've not received your monthly reporting, but generally speaking, they're, it's much closer to the modified basis of accounting. So here you can see that your unassigned balance of $226,000 approximately is higher, and you actually have a positive fund balance. So like I said, that's driven because of your pension and OPEB liabilities. Something that I wanted to mention, because I know that you all are looking at your budget for 2021, and there are concerns about fund balance and things like that. What we usually do to look at your reserve balance is we look at your unassigned fund balance as a percentage of your expenditures for the year. And when you do that calculation from the financial statements, you have about 25% in reserves, which is a healthy balance. I think actually I was looking it up on the state website after we spoke, Rose, and the state actually will consider cutting your funding if you have over 10% in unassigned funds. And that just means that if you have over 10%, you would want to designate it for capital projects or future purposes, so that they don't see a large unassigned balance and potentially cut funding in the future. If it turns out that there were amounts that were unspent from the state funds that you had on hand, that should have been either reported as unearned or as restricted in some manner. And we were not made aware of that. So that is something to consider when you look at this, and going forward for audits, we would need to know if there are state funds that have been received that have not been spent that could potentially need to be remitted if you don't have some sort of waiver or extension on the use of those funds. So your your unassigned fund balance in the report itself as a percentage looks pretty healthy, but I did get a copy of your 2021 budget, and it looks to me like the budget considers using a prior balance of $150,000. And I've not audited your budget. I've not, drilled down into it to see what makes up balances necessarily. But it is a little bit concerning to use that much of your beginning fund balances. Ideally, you would want your revenues and your expenditures to be much closer so that you can maintain the reserves that you've got on hand, unless you are doing some sort of project for which you have built up reserves and intended to spend on that project. So as Rose mentioned, I think it's a good idea to go back, drill down into that budget, and make sure that you all understand what's making up those revenues and expenses, and take a look to see if any adjustments need to be made. I got sidetracked. So back to the statements themselves. Pages 6 and 8 are meant to be essentially a crosswalk to get from the modified statements to the full accrual statement so that you can see what adjustments for long-term assets and liabilities have been reported. So it should take you from your modified statements to your full accrual statements. The notes to the financial statements start on page 9. Here we just go into some more detail about some of the estimates and the amounts that you see in the statements themselves. We use a disclosure checklist each year that tells us what's required to be reported. So I'm not going to go into too much detail about the disclosures. And then if you jump to the back of the report on page 49, this is generally what I refer to as your yellow book opinions. Here we take a look at internal controls and then some specific requirements that the Auditor of Public Accounts tells us to look at because you're considered an authority, board, or commission of the state. We did have a material weakness this year related to segregation of duties. There was a lot of turnover this year, and then for a short period of time, Anne was able to cut checks and sign checks, and she had a lot of control over things. I know now you are working with, I believe it's now Waltham, correct?
Right.
With your third-party accountant to kind of help with that, but I know that you're going to hire an accountant. So just keep in mind that, we would like to see duties segregated to the extent possible. For an organization your size, it could be very difficult to get rid of that finding because you're often only going to have 1 to 2 employees. It may require some mitigating controls that the director and maybe even board members review things and document that review just to help mitigate that risk that you've only got, 1 to 2 personnel in accounting. It's not uncommon for an organization your size, just something to kind of keep in mind as you work on hiring somebody and implementing new policies and new procedures and getting that stuff in writing. We did not note non-compliance as part of our audit. I did want to mention, as an authority board or commission, the board members are supposed to complete conflict of interest forms. We've had that as a management comment because we've not seen any disbursements that we felt looked like there could be a conflict of interest. But you all probably should consider to completing those forms and keeping those on file because that is a requirement in the Code of Virginia. And if you're not sure where to get those forms, I can help you get those. They are supposed to be completed annually between January 1st and February 1st. So you're coming up on the time frame that they normally be completed. I wasn't going to go into too much detail over the other management comments. It sounded like Rose had gone over those and maybe had gone over those with you all as well. If you have questions on anything, I would be happy to do my best to answer them. But that was really all I was going to go over unless you all had questions.
Does anybody have any questions? Emily, think I speak for all of us when I say we really appreciate, first of all, you doing the audit. And I know it was a little challenging this year, but we appreciate all the help that you gave to Helen and Tracy as they helped prepare things. And we appreciate your insights and the offer of help that you have given us to kind of walk us through this and kind of throw up some caution flags when we need to be cautioned and say, keep this in mind. It really is valuable to us, as you know, many of us are fairly new on the board, and well, we're all new on the board. Effective less than a year we've been here, and then Rose is new. So we really appreciate you offering your advice and the suggestions. And we may need to ask you some things in the future and get your input. And we just appreciate your help. I know that there was a question sent to you about a designation for a building fund being included in our assets. And I think the reason that was a concern, you know, there's that earmarked $35,000 whatever building fund. I think in the past, it's been a problem for us when we're asking for funding from, like, the Board of Supervisors or town councils. They see that and they think, oh, well, you all have all this money. And they don't always recognize that those funds are set aside for specific projects. And so when they don't see that on a report like this, they start to say, what are you doing with that money that you've squirreled away? So I think that was the one thing that we had, but we needed some clarification on is why that's showing up on that report. But I appreciate all you've done. Anybody else have anything you want to say to Emily?
Well, I so appreciated the hour you spent with me on Friday helping me to understand this. And particularly, you know, I couldn't understand where on the budget the mystery $150,000 came from. That is just a line that says starting balance. It's like, well, where did that come from?
Right.
And so it was incredibly helpful for me to have you walk me through that. So I appreciate it.
Right. And we do appreciate you taking the time to be here at the board meeting. It's been helpful. Is there anything else you would have to say to us?
You all are very well. Oh, sorry.
Is there anything else you all would say?
I was just going to say that you're welcome to reach out. If you've got questions, if you work on implementing things, we're here to help if we can. It's often easier to try to consult with us on the front end instead of waiting for us to come to do the audit, another 6 months to a year. We can't make management decisions, but we can certainly try to help answer questions, you know, as much as we can to help you all as you work on all these new things that you're trying to implement. And I'm always available to board members if you have questions. My contact information is on, if you've got a copy of the management comments, my contact information is on the bottom of those. But if not, Rose has my contact information and is welcome to share our phone number, my email address, or anything like that, so that you all can get in touch with me too if there are ever questions, concerns, or things that that you'd like to discuss. But it was a pleasure to see you all, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you very much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, number 10 on the agenda is a closed session. I don't think we have anything that would fall into a closed session that we would need to address. Before we hit the January meeting details, I just want to say to all of you, members of the board and the staff and everybody, it is really a pleasure working with each one of you. I know that each one of us have challenges right now, individually and collectively, and I really do appreciate everything that you all are doing for the libraries in our communities. And you know, I think about you guys a lot and things that you're going through, and I hope you know that, you know, I know we're a board here, but it feels a little bit like family. And you know, we don't need to get into everybody's challenges, but I want you all to know if there's ever anything that any of us can do to help you all, just reach out, and we'd be happy to do whatever we can to help in any way. And so with that, yeah, it's a good team. I think we're in a good spot, and we're in great hands with Rose. So anyway, does anybody have any last minute comments you'd like to make before we have a set up our January meeting?
Well, I didn't tell them about the laptops.
Rose has one last thing. Okay. It's good news.
Very good news. So Sean Utt, as we're getting near the end of the calendar year, I thought I would ask if he had any money that others hadn't spent, if we could scoop it up for some new laptops, because we have some $200 laptops that are barely functional.
Right.
They just don't work. Chris has been tortured with hers for the last 2 weeks. Mine barely functions. So I sent him an email yesterday, and he said, well, as a matter of fact, we do have money. How much do you need? And so I said, well, I need at least 3 laptops, but if I could get 5, that would really make a difference. And he said, get the 5. So I spent the day. I have to physically go have them in my hands, and they have to be paid for before December 31st.
Oh, boy.
So I spent the day today working with Best Buy. I'm going to drive to Christiansburg and pick up 5 brand new HP laptops, which will make us much better able to do things like Teams meetings.
Right.
But also Excel spreadsheets and create that database of policies and procedures that I told you about that are on a shared network that everybody can have access to.
That's
so
great.
It's an essential piece of infrastructure, and it was just Sean saying, sure, we have the money, go ahead, get them.
That's awesome. Thank you, Rose, for taking the initiative and checking in on that. That's money we would have had to spend eventually.
Yeah, so
thanks.
So it's $9,000 that
great.
We're getting paid from the COVID.
Wow, money. That's wonderful
news. Is that
news.
COVID money?
Yeah.
Yep.
Anybody else have anything you'd like to add? Kristen, Donna, Jim, Heather, Tracy, anybody?
I don't believe I have anything else. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm good, Margaret.
All right.
Yeah, I'll just say that I know you and Rose, Margaret, you and Rose have been doing a lot of work too, and that's very appreciated from the board. And Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thanks, Donna.
I agree. Merry Christmas to you too, Donna.
Thank you, guys. Jim, we haven't heard from you tonight much.
Yeah. I know, and I've been trying to keep my mouth shut. I just want to say I'll be thinking about Rose next year, next month, and get the rotary cuff done, and look forward to 2021. It's been a pleasure. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. We really had a good year. Next month, Heather, I believe we had set a goal to meet in Saltville for January. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And they did have the town council meeting last night at the town hall, so I'll check and make sure and that it's still okay. So
let's look at
it could change, but
let's look at the date there. The third Thursday of January would be January 21st. And is everybody okay with a 5:30 in Saltville? Can you make it over there by 5:30, or do we need to move to 6?
Margaret, will there be a Zoom option again?
Yes, that's the other thing. Heather, can you make sure with Saltville that we could have access to internet to have this available as well?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yeah, so because I will be calling in from Arlington.
You will be post-surgical.
I will still be in the post-surgery process.
Rose will be joining us via this as well. So we have to have internet. So Heather, just make sure we can get that. And we will then tentatively plan 21st at 5:30. Is that good? Okay. All right. With that.
Yes.
Okay. Let us know, Heather, what you find out on that. And with that, everybody have a Merry Christmas. And yes, Helen.
I have a motion.
A motion for the meeting?
To adjourn.
We're going to, yeah, I was getting there. I'm getting there.
Oh, I was just saying, Merry Christmas, everybody, and that was it.
I was going to say, does anybody want to make the motion to adjourn?
Gotcha.
I'm so moved. Nobody's in here to do it.
Okay, Tom and Kristen, they make the motion in seconds. Everybody in favor? Aye.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Good work.
Merry Christmas. See y'all.
See you next month.
Bye, guys.
Bye.